We come to the final Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday we'll begin Advent, the new church year. The 34th and last Sunday of the year is called the Solemnity of Christ the King. And the readings, of course, are about the end times. In other words, it's the church's way of saying that it's all leading up to this point. This is what it's all about. And so it kind of behooves us to reflect deeply on what it is all about. What is the narrative of salvation? What is the end goal? Where are we going? What is this all about? Okay. Readings about the end times in the Bible have to do with at least three basic intuitions, basic longings that are within the human heart. The first one is something everlasting, everlasting life. Humans come from eternity. We come from God. We have something of eternity in our DNA, in our makeup. The human spirit cannot be satisfied with anything finite. It can only be satisfied with something infinite. And so readings about the end times are about the one who lives forever and who invites us into that eternal life. Second thing that is within the human heart is a longing for justice, truth. And God is the only one who reigns in justice and truth. Every other kingdom, even the nice ones, are really about the rich and the ones who have already. And the division between rich and poor is less in some nations than others, but it is part of the human structure of things. It's part of the nature of nations and governments that it's about guarding the status quo, making sure that those who already have don't lose what they have. And so there's injustice and there's oppression. And the Bible is filled with it. You know, they decried what the injustice of the slavery, the oppression that they experienced in Egypt. And so they get into the promised land of Israel, God's own people. And within a few generations, they're just as bad as Egypt. And this is the story of the human nation, that you overthrow an unjust power and then you become unjust yourself. Third longing is for a nation that will last. The human heart longs for something lasting. And we know that nations rise and nations fall. There has never been a kingdom that lasts forever. And one of the ways that human longing is expressed in the Old Testament is the insistence on the everlasting dynasty of David. That some member of his family will be on the throne forever. And of course, the dynasty of David only lasted two or three generations before it dissipated. But the Israelites wouldn't let go of that. The prophets just kept insisting that there was going to be a restoration of the line of David and it's going to last forever. In other words, this is a longing in the human heart that finds its way into the Bible. And so the New Testament authors, they see Christ, who comes from the line of David, as the resurrection of the Davidic dynasty. And his reign is forever. And that's one of the things we celebrate today. And that's one of the things that's always in those end times kind of readings in the Bible. A king whose reign will never end. So that there's stability. You know, instead of this instability of nations rising and falling and conquering each other and being destroyed, there's stability, an everlasting kind of stability. And then we could probably add a fourth longing in the human heart that's always in end times readings, and that is the longing for unity. We come from the one God. Unity is in our DNA. The longing for unity and the discomfort with disunity, and we know that we're part of the disunity. We know that we sin and we cause division in our own lives, in our own families, in our own community. We know that we're partially responsible for that, but there's something in us that just hates that disunity, because we come from unity and we are destined for unity. And so the end times readings in the Bible always talk about unity. This can all be summed up, I suppose, in 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about his big vision of everything from the beginning to the end. And so it begins in that unity, and everything goes out from God and participates in some form of disunity. And then Christ comes along and reunifies everything in his person. And so in Paul's understanding, what's happening now between the death and resurrection and the coming again of Christ is that everything, every human being, every nation, the stars, the galaxies, the cosmos, everything is being brought under the headship, the reign of Christ. Everything is gradually becoming his body. And so salvation is in him and through him. And we who are conscious of that, we who have faith, we who know the story, we give ourselves over to that willingly and joyfully. And we allow ourselves to become assumed into the body of Christ so that we might become one with him, and so that the kingdom that is somehow in the distant future can already reign in our hearts. And one of the ways we celebrate that, strengthen our hope in that, is through the Eucharist. Because every Sunday we gather around this table in a meal of unity. We partake of the one bread and the one cup. We all, different though we are, and we don't agree on everything. And, you know, anytime you fill a church with people, there's a lot of variety there. But so is there variety in God. There's Father, Son, and Spirit, but that variety does not destroy the unity so that there is one God. And we who celebrate the Eucharist, the sacrament of unity, and notice how often in the Mass there's a prayer for unity. Because this is one of the deepest longings of the human heart, put there by God, because God desires unity. And in the end, God will draw all things to himself. And once everything has been subjected under the headship of Christ, he will hand it over to the Father, St. Paul says, so that God may be all in all. Out of all the world that loses hope, that thinks that nations rise and fall and there's really no meaning to it, and I just have to get mine while I'm here, and look the other way and try to ignore the oppression and the suffering and all that sort of thing and just kind of get by. We Catholics, we Christians who do Eucharist every Sunday, the sacrament of unity, we are the ones who live in that hope that one day all will be one, and that God is working on this even as we speak. Despite our sin, despite the evil that is in the world, God is more powerful than all of that, and we are headed toward the unity that God desires. And our participation in that unity now makes a difference. Even though it doesn't seem like it, our participation in the one God, in the unity that is the destiny of the human race, makes a difference. We are the ones who are the leaven in the dough. We are the ones in the world of rotting dough that are risen ever so slightly because we are here.